Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use absolutely starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for February the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. The goal always, incredibly simple, remains the same. What is that? To protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the tradition of our founders. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by the founders is absolutely brilliant, and the solution to the problems we face in America, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of work to do to fix the republic. That is indeed for sure. And we ask for your help. We don't need a revolution, but we do need a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, my fellow Americans. It's a serious road to hoe. I mean, it's a lot of work, to say the least, folks. We can fix it, though. LibertyRoundtable.com is the answer. Let me just tell you right now, before we get started, this broadcast is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, think thepowermall.com. I'm telling you right now, they have incredible products. They fund radio. And you can place an order by calling the Power Hour Mall at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. And they have incredible books available, like The Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation. All right. It's on sale for $22.46. They've got Radical Peace, People Refusing War by William T. Hathaway. It's on sale, only $13.46. They own it all, including you. Available by Robert Rowan McDonald, $17.96. You got Numana grab-and-go kits for food and more? Check it out today. All right, get a hold of thepowermall.com. That is thepowermall.com. Or simply dial 877-817-9829. Now, a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, then we'll launch into the broadcast for today. We talked about happy birthday to Kirk Crosby. He was born in 58, and he turned 58 yesterday. Congratulations. Have a wonderful and blessed day. Is the Donald the anointed one, is the question that I ask. Trump clobbers Rubio and Cruz, cementing his front-runner status. That's according to Yahoo.com. Trump wins Nevada GOP caucuses and looks to win the next 12 state contests on March 1, Super Tuesday. Donald Trump wins Nevada caucuses by landslide, says the rap. Trump, quote, if you listen to the pundits, we weren't expecting to win too much. Now we're winning, 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 Trump said in his victory speech. The reason he said winning three times is because he's won three in a row. Trump triumphed for the third time in a row with 91%+ of precincts reporting he was already at 46% of the votes. Rubio had 24, Cruz had 22%. Trump had what the two runner-ups had combined. Wow, Kasich and Carson were not even on the map. Drudge is already dubbing Trump the nominee. Trump says, I will prosecute Hillary Clinton if I'm elected. Well, people like that for sure. Donald Trump is also calling for an audit of the Federal Reserve and mocked Ted Cruz for missing Rand Paul's audit the Fed vote and said, what's up with that? Donald Trump further crashes Glenn Beck's stump speech in Nevada. Wow. Now folks are saying, quote, murder Donald Trump. I reject that notion, but that's what they're saying on Twitter. They're threatening to assassinate the front runner. Wow, the plot thickens, doesn't it? Pope Francis is forced to back down after calling Trump anti-Christian for his views on immigration. And Hannity and Beck are facing off over Donald Trump. As you know, Beck hates Trump. Nevertheless, the battle rages on. That was just 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. We get after it, that's for sure. We'll talk about the next hour's broadcast later. For now, though, Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias.
All right, we can...
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
We can barely hear you, Kurt. You're all muffled. You got bad audio. Hopefully you can work on that. Meantime, we got our buddy, Keith Alexander, with us. He's well-known with the Political Cesspool radio program syndicated by Liberty News Radio. He's a co-host with James Edwards. Hi, Keith.
Hello. How are you this morning, Sam?
We're doing absolutely fantastic. The Trump phenomenon is beyond comprehension. I'm just going to start with that and then let you... What do you want to say about that? It's beyond imagination.
Well, he's the right man for the right moment, I think, in America and the world. We're looking for a nationalist populist as opposed to a conservative. You know, Sam Francis, the late, great Sam Francis, the paleoconservative editorialist and journalist who died an untimely death back in 2005, basically gave this advice to the Buchanan campaign in 1996. He said, drop calling yourself a conservative. He said, because most of the liberal opposition to liberalism in America is merely anti-liberal, not conservative. They're not channeling Edmund Burke. They're not interested in, for example, when you start talking about cutting government spending, then the next thing out of a politician's mouth is cutting Social Security and Medicare, things that these people have contributed to and are going to be relying upon in their old age.
In other words, don't talk about real cuts. Talk about the cuts that you know will get the American people against the whole agenda, right?
Right. Well, basically, you need to understand that these people aren't so much conservative in some type of classical sense as they are anti-liberal. And there is a great consensus for anti-liberalism, for populism and nationalism. Now, our radio program, the Political Cesspool, has always advertised itself as a populist conservative radio show. And populism, I think, has taken the nation by storm. It's taking the world by storm, particularly Europe right now. And Donald Trump is a authentic voice of nationalism and populism, and that's why he's getting the positive reaction that he is, in my opinion.
Well, I think you've got a valid point. He's saying the things that people want to hear. That's populism in its best form, if you will. He's not shy about what he believes and what he wants to say. Now, there's a big battle, as you know, between Glenn Beck and Donald Trump, and Glenn has been trashing Donald, saying he's not a real conservative and all this kind of stuff. And Donald, right now, has had the last word against Glenn. I don't know if you saw this, but Glenn Beck was given a speech in Nevada on behalf of Ted Cruz. I don't know if you know, but Glenn Beck is an absolute diehard Cruz fan. He wants everybody to fast and pray for Cruz's success. He believes that Antonin Scalia, God let him be killed so that, or God let him die or had him die so that, Cruz could, you know, launch to the White House, etc. I mean, a little bit off the chart views. Nevertheless, Donald Trump crashes Glenn Beck's speech and claims that it was not on purpose. There's videos all over the internet about this. What happened was Glenn was speaking peacefully. Donald Trump enters the room behind Glenn. Glenn doesn't realize. The crowd starts cheering. Glenn thinks it's for him at first. it's for Trump. And then all of a sudden, once Glenn realizes that it's not for him at all, everybody starts taking off and going towards Trump. And well, then Trump just flat out upstaged him. Now, the mainstream press asked if it was on purpose. Donald Trump said no, but he absolutely trashes Glenn Beck in the process. We'll play that soundbite right after the pause, but this is the kind of stuff that Trump does. There's never a dull moment.
No, he's got the flair of a showman. That's one thing that's certain about him.
Now,
I think that Glenn Beck is, this is a great sorting out among conservatives. It's where the sheep are separated from the goats. And I definitely consider Glenn Beck to be among the goats in this. He is he's a shill for the establishment, and that's becoming more and more obvious. the fact that he is this resistant to a populist message, you know, and basically has he is lined up with people like Rich Lowry at the National Review and Karl Rove, and you can put them all in one bag together. You know, Mark Levin, likewise, is, you know, gone into the anti-Trump camp. He's all in for anti-Trump. But Trump is striking a chord, and I don't think he's doing this because he's manipulative. I think he's populist and telling people what they want to hear, primarily because he thinks like they do.
All right, hang tight. We'll talk about it in seconds. Keith Alexander riding shotgun on Liberty Roundtable Live.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, and Keith Alexander, co-host of the PoliticalCesspool.org award-winning radio broadcast, Riding Shotgun. Here's Donald Trump when he was asked if he upstaged Glenn Beck on purpose. Listen to this.
Glenn Beck was at a caucus site in Nevada yesterday. He was speaking on behalf of Ted Cruz. And then you showed up and wound up making your pitch for the people there who were at the caucus site to vote for you. Did you know Glenn Beck was there? And did you do that on purpose?
No, I didn't. But when I walked in, I saw he was on the podium, and there were thousands of people in the room, not too many people listening to him. He's not a very good guy to listen to, frankly. He's boring. And so when I walked in, everybody saw me. The place went crazy. They all ran away from him, his whole crowd. And he was standing up there talking to nobody. and he steamed out of the room. And I didn't do it on purpose, but I happened to be there, and we had such, I'll bet you 95% of the people in that room in that particular area were with us. Right. And, you know, we finished so high. No, but I didn't do that on purpose. I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, all right, Kurt Crosby, your response? Let's see what Kurt says about this.
Well, it sure is an interesting situation, you know, to see that happen. And you know, like Keith said, this populist message, or if you want to translate it, this message that says, hey, we kind of want to take care of our country, our people, you know, that idea, I guess for a long time has been, what would you say, politically incorrect. And yet, you know, people are kind of tired of that whole political incorrectness in a big way, and they're coming out and supporting somebody they think is a champion of that. And that's what you see. Glenn Beck's pretty ticked off about it. I did hear part of his program yesterday. He doesn't really... as far as I can tell, there's no love lost between him and Donald Trump at all.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm a little concerned about this from Donald Trump. I know it's showmanship. I know that it gets media attention. But, man, I kind of go back to the do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Donald Trump could have done that in a whole lot more classical way. He could have walked up there and stood by Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck would have probably been smart enough to share the mic with him, and he could have said, you know, I appreciate you standing up for Cruz, but I wish you'd vote for me, Glenn. I wish you'd be stumped. He could have done it in a way that wouldn't upstage him, but that would still take advantage of the situation. That's just my thoughts. Keith Alexander, what do you say?
Well, I'll take the other tack on it. I think that Glenn Beck is as much of an egotist as Donald Trump.
Well, you're right about that for sure.
And he doesn't enjoy being upstaged by anyone. I think if Jesus Christ walked on the stage, he might be offended if he were upstaged by him. So I think that what's happening with Donald Trump and Glenn Beck, is, you know, this kind of back and forth, is very illuminating, and it shows you the character of the two men. Donald Trump is not an intellectual. Okay, he doesn't try to.
Yet, nor does he pretend to be, right?
Right. He connects directly with people. He talks at their level. And this makes him a very effective politician. And Kurt was absolutely right. He smashes political correctness. He understands intuitively that political correctness was not developed just coincidentally. It's not just some manifestation of good manners brought up to date. It was devised by cultural Marxists to make all of the important information off limits for discussing why and how the vast bulk of the American citizenry is being dispossessed. We're having our manufacturing sector sent across, overseas, with the complicity of our politicians who are doing the bidding of wealthy donors who stand to profit from that move. And he's the only one that would talk about it. He's also the only one who would talk about building a fence and doing something serious to stem the flood of illegal immigration into this nation. He has made mainstream politicians deal with the issues that concern the people. And quite frankly, there was a conspiracy of silence before Trump entered the picture, and people are so energized by the fact that finally we have politicians talking about the issues that we're concerned about, and Donald Trump is the reason, and they know it, and that's really, I think, the essence of, you know, the seed that has grown into the Trump movement. But people appreciate a politician that actually puts the American people as his primary clients, not the interests of wealthy donors. Donald Trump realizes that he's going to be elected, if he is elected, as president of the United States, not president of the world. I think George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush basically ruled as if they were the president of the world. They used our military as a police force for one world government.
There's no doubt Donald Trump intends to be a nationalist.
Right, and we nationalism is godly. Not nationalism is natural. That's the way things should be. For example, we have peace in Europe primarily because we let the various peoples of Europe break down into nation states that corresponded with their races and ethnicities and their kinship groups. And as a result, conflict has basically left Europe. After World War II, if you told people that we're going to have 60 years basically of peace in Europe without a major war, they would have thought you were, wishful thinking. But that's what's happened, and that's really the prescription of peace for the entire planet. Let national groups and racial, ethnic, kinship groups have their own space and their own place, and the idea of having some one world government coming in here and trying to convert the Middle East to, a carbon copy of the American Midwest, it's doomed to failure.
In fact, you know what that's called, what you're proposing? It's called free association, sir, without government interference.
Right. That's exactly what people yearn for. That's instinctive. That's natural. And that's what the United States has allowed its military to become. We've become the police force for a tyrannical one-world government. And I think people understand our foreign policy, our trade policy, all of these things are terribly skewed from the intentions of the founding fathers. You know, George Washington, in his farewell address, said the surest way to lose our freedom and our republic is foreign entanglements, fighting foreign wars and having favorite nation status with any foreign nation.
And partisan politics.
Exactly.
Keith, it's interesting that I was just thinking about one of the biggest, pushbacks in America was when certain people were forced to segregate basically into schools they didn't want to go to, places they didn't want to live in, etc. This is in our past, but it's still, kind of with us. And that's what pretty much this whole idea has been in America. We're supposed to be forced to segregate, and people don't like force.
They don't like being told what to do by the government, and that's for
sure.
That's
right.
And also, I truly believe this. I say it on the radio program quite often. Liberalism is the modern face of evil. If and the Bible says, do not be deceived, you shall know them by their fruits. Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. You talked about integration. Think about this. Public school integration ushered in 1954 by the Brown versus Board of Education decision. Have the public schools gotten better or worse?
They've absolutely completely melted down. Keith Alexander, one of the co-hosts of the Political Cesspool, thepoliticalcesspool.org radio program, riding shotgun in seconds. Liberty Roundtable continues.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
No doubt, we're running on all cylinders, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. Keith Alexander, co-host of the Political Cesspool radio program, an award-winning populist radio broadcast every Saturday night live on Liberty News Radio. You can check it out. If you want to do so, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. You'll check out their website, a lot of the articles they post during the week. Archives to the show. You can listen anytime, anywhere to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Do it today. Keith Alexander with us. And right before the pause, he was talking about this incredible decision. Brown versus the Board of Education, 1954. And, you know, we really took a turn. It was a landmark decision in the wrong direction, creating forced associations backed and funded by the government, Keith.
Well, it seemed it was really the camel's nose in the tent for the modern era of liberalism that we're suffering under still at this time. It seemed to have, you know, an appeal to a lot of people in their inherent sense of justice, but they didn't understand that they were letting the camel's nose into the tent. And once you, as Arabs will tell you, don't let the camel's nose in the tent, because the next thing you know, the camel will be inside and own your tent, and you'll be moved outside. And it led to just a complete, relentless onslaught of radical egalitarian movements like criminal rights, illegal alien rights, radical feminism, homosexual rights, environmentalism, the sexual revolution, the drug culture. And you see, these all came from the left. None of these was the pet project of the John Birch Society. And that has become the dominant culture of America. As Pat Buchanan said, the counterculture of the 60s has become the dominant culture of today, and the dominant culture of the 60s has become the dissonant culture of today. And the people speaking to you on the radio right now, Sam, Kurt, and I are members of the dissonant culture and proud of it, but that doesn't mean that people have really been converted to liberalism. I know in the area where I live, we commonly say that liberalism is a mile wide and an inch deep. People realize they've got to toe the line with political correctness to protect their livelihoods, but instinctively they're conservative, and Donald Trump is tapping into that instinctive conservatism, in my opinion.
There's no doubt about that. And speaking of big egos, when it comes to Glenn Beck having a big ego, Donald Trump having a big ego, well, there's another guy in the mix having a big ego, too. He's a well-known media rock star, so to speak. His name is Michael Savage. And Michael Savage is now saying, I'm, quote, the architect of Trump's message. believe it or not.
He said that you are Sam?
No, he says that he is.
Oh, he is. Oh,
Michael Savage says, I'm the architect of Trump's message. And the reason he gives, he says, make America great again is really saying borders, language, and culture. There's an article by Bob Unruh on WorldNet Daily talking about this today, Michael Savage's claim. I agree it's about borders, language, and culture. Michael Savage is right. I'm not so sure that he came up with a message for Trump. Nevertheless, he is taking credit for it. He says, I don't take credit for the votes they've got, but I do take credit. I've been talking about this language, culture, and borders forever. And without those things, we're not going to have a country. You know what? Savage and Trump are both right on those points.
Well, what was that? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Well, one thing that you won't find a shortage of in the environs of New York where both Savage and Trump come from is an excess of humility. But on the other hand, both of them are, you know, really on the right side of the fence on these type of issues. You know, another thing that we've bought is the idea that it's somehow ungodly or unchristian to want to have a sense of solidarity with your own type of people. You know, every other racial and ethnic group besides white Gentiles in America is not only allowed but encouraged to have a strong sense of racial identity and solidarity. And what I tell people, you'll hear it in the pulpits now, you know, how, you know, discrimination is a great sin. I've searched the Bible from cover to cover and can't find that. But, you know, they have supplanted, on the other hand, homosexuality, which is never mentioned in not only the Bible, but in just about the holy books of any major world religion without utter condemnation, is now, has been declassified as a sin. Now, this is, and particularly if I tell people that if having a sense of racial identity is sinful, then these Christian ministers that are peddling that type of palaver need to have a long, serious talk with their black brethren in the clergy, because they see no inconsistency whatsoever with having a strong sense of solidarity with their own kind on one hand and being a good Christian on the other.
Well, here's what's interesting to me. Free association is rejected, although I believe that should be the point. In place of free association, what they have is they have forced involvement by labeling, and that's either to one, promote a group, the, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people or whatever, by label they promote them. By label they basically disparage and destroy us by saying, oh, you're a Christian constitutionalist, white, extremist, racist, hater. And by these labels, do they either promote or demonize via a forced association scenario? If you're involved in free association based on your beliefs or your wants, then that's considered evil. You're a bigot. If it's forced association and or association for, in my mind, the wrong reasons or for immoral reasons or et cetera, then it's promoted. Everything is topsy-turvy. Kurt, what do you say? Good will be called evil?
Well, you know, we were told over and over that in the last days we would see good called evil and evil called good. And it sure seems to be a great example of that in this case, doesn't it?
Now, Michael Savage saying, I'm the architect of Trump's message. I mean, it reminds me of Al Gore saying he created the internet a little bit. I mean, I get what he's trying to say. He's written books about this topic for years, but I could come back and say, you know, I've talked about these topics as long as Michael Savage has, Kurt. Maybe I'm the architect of Michael Savage.
Exactly right. And, it makes me think of our buddy from, what's our buddy's name? The guy that wants to put together the army of people, he would
Million Man March
has these different bills in Congress and stuff. And he says, when you get a whole army of people that want it, then some politician wants to get out in front of it, or some guy like Michael Savage wants to get out in front of it because that's what they like to do. You know, like Keith said, the humility factor is not really overwhelming when it comes to Michael Savage or Donald Trump.
Yeah, good point. I just simply think that we all need to join together for the causes that matter most to us. That is a conservative constitutional agenda. It's an agenda that promotes God, family, and country and protects life, liberty, and property, Keith.
Well, you know, Obama's big catchphrase was he wanted to change America. I think all of us here would like to change America back to what it was and possibly start over there. We're not trying to say that America of the 1950s was perfect. We haven't lived in a perfect world since Adam and Eve, but it was certainly much better than it is today. James ran a article on the Cesspool website yesterday that I thought was pretty telling on that point. It had a picture of a typical American family in 1950, and then it had a picture of the Kardashians, and he said, do you call this progress? I don't either.
Ouch. Yeah, or you could just put the Simpsons on there too, right?
Right.
It's just like, wow, what have we evolved into? You know, but I've decided, though, and people need to understand this too, when I say we can restore the Republic of the traditions of our founding fathers, I don't believe we can restore the nation as a whole. I believe some of these big cities, they're all hooked on government handouts. They're all hooked on, pornography and whatever else destructive they can latch on to, alcohol, drugs, whatever. They're into this popular culture to the point where I don't know that we can really change their viewpoints. My goal is not to reach out to those people. Not that I wouldn't want them to listen or to learn or to grow or to change, because I do. But my goal is to create a remnant of righteous people to stand for liberty. You might start with the divide between the blue states and the red states. You might start with, my goal isn't to divide, but my goal is to, eventually you're going to have wheat and tares, right? And eventually there's going to be a separation. In my mind, that's an eventual future reality, Keith.
Well, you know, being a Southerner, I really believe that it would have been much better for us and for the world if the South had prevailed in the Civil War. The war was not about slavery. Slavery was on the way out. That's the common thread that you hear in modern histories regarding American history and the Civil War.
Well, William Wilberforce got rid of slavery without a war. We could have, too.
Well, it was going out because of mechanization. You know, it went out in all the Western Hemisphere without another war being fought about it by 1890. It would have gone out in America because, as Harriet Beecher Stowe said, the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, after the war she married a Southerner and lived in Florida. And one of her quotes that you don't hear at all anymore is that there was never any need to have a war to end slavery because the capitalist class came to understand that wage slavery was cheaper than chattel slavery. So there was no need to have a war about that. There was a difference in temperament that still exists today. The same difference between the Union and the Confederacy is now called Blue State, Red State America.
Hang tight. We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought. We learned, We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And Liberty Roundtable is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com and givemelibertyfund.com. Check them out today. Do business with the good guys. All right, so Keith Alexander riding shotgun. He's a co-host of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org on the internet. Listen anytime via the archives or Saturday nights live. You can listen to James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller, and more. In fact, one cool thing that I got to mention, it looks like there's a Trump rally in Memphis, Tennessee, Saturday night. James Edwards, Political Cesspool talk host, and Keith Alexander, from what I understand, you guys are going to be there covering that sucker live. That's exciting news too, right?
Oh, look, it just fell into our lap, and James is busy getting press credentials and everything, so, you know, we ought to have a bird's eye view of the whole proceeding. But it's going to be great just to be out there because, as far as I'm concerned, the show is not just Donald Trump. It's the people that support him as well. And this should be a great opportunity to tap into that and really see for ourselves exactly what the Trump phenomenon is really about, what the people are who support him are thinking. And, you know, you're right. We have a divide in America today. We have half of America going nuts over Bernie Sanders and the other half going nuts over Donald Trump. And if that doesn't say that, you know, we're not one nation in terms of our temperament, outlook, values, ethics, things like that, I don't know how to convince you. You have trouble convincing me that we're all the same people, if you know, because I quite frankly don't see the Bernie Sanders allure, and I'm sure that they don't see the Donald Trump allure.
Well, the fascinating thing is that, you know, they say the South is going to rise again. The ideology the South had, of states' rights, of conservative views, of freedom to associate, of the protection of life, liberty, and property. That Southern streak is alive and well today. People don't realize that either. But it also kind of has commandeered and involves a lot of the Midwest and the Rocky Mountain states. It's almost like it chops America in half and leaves that Northeast massive group alone in the Western Oregon, Washington, and California kind of on its own, too, and it kind of cuts a swath of conservative views right in the middle of America.
Well, yeah, you're right. As I understand it, Blue State America is the Atlantic seaboard north of D.C., basically, the upper Midwest, and then the left coast, while the South, a lot of the Midwest, and the interior West is Red State America. And people said, how did the West become Red State America? Well, Red State America, who settled it? Basically, it was Southerners fleeing the rigors of Reconstruction who were the primary pioneers. That's why, have you ever noticed, and in all the old Westerns that you see, you know, the old movies, the cowboys talked with Southern accents. There was a predominance of people from the South, and they brought the same attitude. So I've also heard the West described as the South without a race problem. So, you know, there is a there's a similarity in the folk that populate the West and the South, and it manifests itself politically and in other ways.
Well, I find it fascinating. Donald Trump certainly tapping into frustrations across the nation for sure. Do you think he's going to completely sweep the South? James Edwards thinks that he's already virtually got the nomination. That's what Matt Drudge thinks as well. What do you say, Keith?
Well, I say so, too. They're trying to say that Cruz might take Texas, but I would be very surprised. Texas is a southern state and a western state. It's kind of like a custom-made state or a modified state in some ways. But I think that I think Trump is going to take the entire South, and he's also going to take Texas and the Midwest and the interior West. Let me say this, that Ann Coulter was trying to talk about his appeal, and she said he's really the only manly man in the race. He is the one who will, speaks off the cuff, unafraid, uncowed, unbossed and unbought by political correctness. And that appeals, that resonates with people in red state America, because that's the type of person that, basically has been our type of role model. It's not some wonk who lives in a library under a lamp. And it's not, this kind of independent person that can make his own way in the wilderness, in the wilderness of real estate development in New York, for example. He's able to survive on his own. And all of that appeals to instincts that I think are almost inbred in red state America.
A simple way to say that is he doesn't hide behind a teleprompter now, does he?
No, he doesn't. He's not a great teleprompter reader, but he does, and he has a simple, direct message. I'm not 100% with him on everything that he says, but on the other hand, people that say he's not conservative enough have a different view of conservatism for me. As far as I'm concerned, conservatism is nothing more or less than common sense. It's liberalism that's counterintuitive baloney. And he obviously has an abundance of common sense, or he wouldn't have succeeded like he did in the business world. So, sometimes you need to have somebody who is a leader. I think America is desperately needing leadership more than anything else, and we need leadership that has the best interests of the average American citizen at heart. And I think that's the basic distillation of the appeal of Donald Trump. That's what he represents to the people that are supporting him.
Kurt, I want you to chime in. It'd be refreshing to have us have a new media taking center stage. Michael Savage, one of the people at the heart of that whole idea. It'd be nice for us to really take on some of these issues that we've simply been ignored regarding way too long. And now I think we have a chance to say what we want. One of the things that I think needs to happen with Donald Trump's, I don't know if I should call it leadership, but Americans that believe in conservative values need to take off the gloves a little bit like Trump and say, you know what? I'm not going to be bashful. I'm not going to let this an inch deep and a mile wide conservatism exist. I'm going to dig in. I'm going to stand. I'm going to make my points. And the more leaders do that, the more the American people will realize that there is a true conservative viewpoint. There is a Christian viewpoint, a conservative viewpoint, a constitutional viewpoint, a moral viewpoint still in America. What do you say, Kurt? I'm convinced we need to take that kind of lead. It's proven he's had success. We got to stand up too.
Well, you're exactly right. We've seen great leaders all through our history, as well as, all through the history of time. They typically say, it's like that talk of Steve Voss's, or that song of Steve Voss's, "Thank God for the Renegades." These are people that don't always just put their finger in the wind and try to figure out which way the wind's blowing. They literally say what should be said and then stand up for it. Even in some cases, give their lives for it. And that's, it's nice to, I guess you'd say it's just refreshing to be able to see that and to identify those instances. And then, of course, we need to stand up for what is right. Some would say, well, Hitler was a guy like that. And I would say, well, it's true that he said things that weren't being said, but he certainly wasn't doing what needed to be done.
Keith, what do you say?
Well, I've got a great idea. If Trump is elected, he's already got a broadcast alternative under his control. It's called National Public Radio and National Public Television. He needs to get Donald Trump needs to go in there a la The Apprentice and say to all of those current announcers and editorialists, you're fired. And he needs to repopulate it with the likes of you and me and James and Kurt and Michael Savage and some other, Ann Coulter and Pat Buchanan. Although I really would love to see Pat Buchanan be his vice president and Ann Coulter be nominated to replace Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court.
Wow, that'd be an interesting dynamic. For sure they could have me as the press secretary.
Yeah, you could do it. Well, the thing is, there are so many things we could do. Well, imagine if you had a true, authentic conservatism, not the Republican establishment elitist shill alternative of Fox News run by Rupert Murdoch. It would be so wonderful to have an authentic conservative alternative to turn to rather, you know, just look at Fox News and how they've reacted to Trump, for example. Every 4 out of 5 commentators I have are people like Karl Rove or a guy from the Weekly Standard or somebody, Rich Lowry or Jonah Goldberg or somebody like this. All neocons, which is just another variant of liberalism in my estimation. And see, this would be the great opportunity to do it, and NPR is sitting there like low-hanging fruit. That's what I hope Trump will do if he gets in, because he's going to need some media support. Otherwise, he's just going to have a left-wing media relentlessly teeing off on him and no alternative voice except his own. And
all right, now Glenn Beck is calling Trump supporters brown shirts after Trump crashes Beck's speech. Breitbart.
What do you expect? You know, some things never change.
Glenn Beck just can't take the heat, I guess. Get out of the kitchen there, brother. All right, there you have it. The battle's on. The politicalcesspool.org radio program Saturday night will be at the Trump rally in Memphis, Tennessee, live. Tune in, would you, folks? Thanks so much, Keith Alexander.
Thank you so much, Sam and Kurt. Have a great day, and keep the faith, and keep your powder dry.
Godspeed, sir. Will do. Thank you very much. All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt got a lot to break down coming your way. You are listening to LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. We're the ones that claim this nation shall endure.